like the police knew who he was before they got here.
From iHeart Podcasts.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
I'm Paul Pringle, an investigative reporter for the LA Times. Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast, and I had the opportunity to talk to one of Hollywood's major icons, Michael B. Jordan. In our conversation, Michael shares the highs, the lows, and everything in between, offering a genuine glimpse into his world.
The closest to getting what you want is always the hardest. People give up right before they get what they've always wanted to get.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is your space to explore mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia. And I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.
This doll in particular, I took her home and then a few days later walked in and it smelled like burning. And I was like, that's weird. I couldn't figure out where it's coming from. And then the next day I looked and there was like a kind of like a scorch mark above the doll.
Hello, thank you so much for joining me on Kesha and the Creepies. Today, we have a very special guest, Amy Bruni, who is a paranormal investigator and has been for decades?
Way too long, very long time, without aging myself. Yes.
I'm like so fascinated with your job. It seems like it must be a very entertaining profession.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely different. You know, I actually started out years ago, I was working as like a project manager for a health insurance company and just living in a cubicle. And on the weekends, I would go look for ghosts. You know, I'd fly myself to like the scariest places in America. And then one day I got asked to be part of the team on the show Ghost Hunters because yeah. I knew the guys who were on that show and I was helping them with their podcast. And I said yes. And then I never went home again. I was on the road for like 7 years and 300 episodes.
Oh my God.
So it's just been a really, really crazy ride, but I've gotten like really philosophical about it. And, you know, it's my perception of the paranormal has definitely changed throughout this journey.
Like what part of your perception of the paranormal or supernatural has changed by doing what you do?
Well, I think when I first started, you know, when I was first into ghosts, you know, I started being curious about spirits and entities and things as a child. And I read all these books by like Hans Holzer and stuff that had very defined ideas of what a ghost was, that it was someone who, you know, was trapped here for whatever reason and you could just cross them over to the light and they would move on and everything would be okay. And then the more I investigated and the more that I got out there into some of these really crazy locations, the more I realized that, you know, the second you start kind of humanizing a ghost, mm-hmm. when you look at a spirit as though they are a living person standing in front of you and they need something or they want something and they're trying to communicate something, it becomes a lot less creepy and a lot more like you're a kind of a ghost therapist, like you have a mission at that point. And that's really where it's changed for me. The second that ghosts stopped being a novelty for me was, you know, that was when it just became very real. Like that could be someone I love. That could be me one day, you know? And I think that people who naturally kind of pick up a vibe from people in person, even like you say, you have this like empathic nature. You're probably someone too who can pick up on when there is like an energy present that might need something, or, you know, and so it translates, like that ability, I think, translates from not only the living, but also to the dead.
Yeah. So in all the investigating you've done and all the experience you have in this field, do you have a specific like religious or spiritual thing that you think happens when people pass away?
I did. And now I have encountered so many things. Like the second I think I have it figured out, like ghosts will throw me a curveball and completely, you know, ruin whatever theory it was that I had. I think that there are spirits that will come and go, that will come and check in on us, people that we love that don't really have official business here per se, but do want to come back and just let you know that they're thinking about you. And then I also think there is that classic unfinished business that can be anything and that they need help with. I mean, it could be as simple as, you know, we've encountered spirits who died very tragically, who had no really conception of the fact that they had passed away, or people who left things unsaid, or, you know, people who are watching over the house that they built and they're upset at the way it's been kept. There's a spirit we found whose name was misspelled on his tombstone and he was upset. Like these little things that maybe don't keep them behind 100%, but it is a mission for them. Like there is something that they want fixed.
I have this theory that in this life you have to deal with your shit. And there's a lot of shit that I do, but I'm like, I don't want to do it. But I'm like, I just don't think there's an easy way out. Like, if I leave this here, I'm going to have to deal with this in the afterlife or in my next life or something like that, because it just seems too easy of a thing to be like, no, it'll be fine. I really feel like the energy is neither created nor destroyed. So our energy or spirit moves on. And I just really believe, I don't know if it's necessarily karma, but just that you have to be accountable for your actions. And you also just, people are particular and people are funny. And I like the idea that that doesn't go away if you pass away. Like you still have your personality, you have your quirks, you want your name to be spelled right.
Exactly. And you think about it too, like people who have the luxury of kind of being on their deathbed and knowing that they're going to pass away, like what do? They always want to see everyone. They always want to say last words. They, you know, they start sifting through things that they want to make right. And so I think that it's an important lesson for us just in how we live, that like you said, like that shit doesn't go away, you know, that at some point you will have to deal with it if it's really affecting you. And a lot of it is relationships. A lot of it is, you know, loved ones, you know, watching over people that they've felt, you know, an affinity towards and things like that. Like there's always something. And some of them just have issues that they were never able to work through in life, and they continue trying to work through them in death. And again, this is all theory just of what I've encountered. Like I'll never say that this is absolutely what's happening, but it's what I feel.
I love that though. I'm so on board. I have a cat that I think is like one of my spirit angels. And I just feel like, you know, there are certain almost just spirits that I feel around, and some are really positive and beautiful. And then occasionally I've had some stranger, less beautiful experiences. And I'm like, is that just like a really angry person? Or do you think they're just really confused? Are they caught in this middle ground? Or they're just some, I know this, I'm like asking you, like, you might know the answer to this, which you might, but are there just some people that just suck? And they just suck as a ghost, they sucked as a person, and they just suck. Or do you think people are inherently good?
No, you're 100% right, in my opinion, because people are always afraid that, you know, they're experiencing a spirit and they're like, it's a demon, it's something evil. And I'm like, are you sure they just weren't a jerk when they were alive? Because you don't stop being a jerk just because you died, you know? And so you have these spirits that I feel are angry. They were awful when they were alive. It doesn't stop just because they died. They still want to make people miserable. Or you have like the completely misunderstood spirit who is desperate to get a message across. And then sometimes they can also come across as negative because they're so desperate. They start doing really angry physical things like slamming doors and grabbing onto you, scratching you, like yelling because they're completely desperate for some reason. So as an investigator, I have to kind of sift through those and go, okay, am I dealing with just a jerk or am I dealing with someone who genuinely needs my help? And so when we go into these hauntings, even the most extreme ones, we have to go in with no judgment. We have to go in judgment-free and just try to solve it. And like that can take days, months, weeks of trying to communicate with these spirits. And I'm not psychic. And so I'm trying to rely on, you know, my psychic friends and actual like evidence and recordings. But you are, in my opinion, totally on track with that.
Well, how do you, because I was watching your show Kindred Spirits, which I love, and you had like a blindfold on and I think something over your ears and you were just kind of... Mm-hmm. communicating what the spirit was saying. I was watching the one that was based on The Conjuring, the movie.
Yes.
So I watched the episode. So interesting. But it did feel like there was darkness. It felt like it could be kind of scary. I'm just curious what that process is for you to like go into a place knowing that dark things have happened. Like, what is that process for you? How do you prepare? How do you know how to connect? All of that.
Well, there's a lot there because people ask a lot, you know, what do you do to prepare yourself for these moments? Are you, you know, do you wear a crystal? Do you say a prayer? And I always go into a location like that just knowing that I'm good enough, that I am strong enough, that I don't need assistance from somewhere else. Because the second that that thing gets taken away from you, if I'm relying on like a religious medal, for example, mm-hmm. and say that I forget it or it gets taken away, suddenly I feel weaker. And so in my mind, I just want to make sure that I feel like I can take on whatever just the way I am, that I don't need outside help. But that some people do like to, like I said, do rituals, say prayers, bring crystals, and that's totally fine. I just don't personally, but for things like that, like I had such a relationship with the parent family. So The Conjuring was based on a true story. And, you know, what happened in that house for so long is scary. But the movie is scary. But like what that family actually went through to me seemed scarier in real life than what the movie portrayed.
Which for people listening that haven't seen it, what were some of the things in the movie that actually happened?
It is very like obviously the movie's edited. Like I loved that movie. It was edited very well. It was directed very well. And, you know, there's this part with like this clapping that seemed so scary in the movie. But I think that what's scary about what actually happened is that it's real. Like you're watching the movie and you're like, this is a dramatization. But then when you actually talk to the parent family, they were just children living there. They were being attacked in their beds every night. They watched their mom be attacked by a spirit. Like, and so when you talk to them face to face, it becomes so much more scary than watching a Hollywood movie.
I agree. I thought that your episode was much more terrifying and humanizing.
Yes.
And I love that movie. I love scary movies. And so those kids are now grown up. And do they still remember, like, what were some of the things that happened to them that they remember? And how did they deal with that?
So they remember a lot of it. You know, it's affected them for life. You know, it's like being in a bad family situation or something. You know, they had trouble at home and they had to live with that forever or, you know, till now. And so they remember definitely the big thing was, I think, they would hear like whispers while they were sleeping at night. Like they would hear, like there was one girl, Cindy, who was the most affected and she kept hearing this voice at night that would tell her like soldiers buried outside, seven soldiers in the wall, like telling her all these things, which are not true. Like, you know, we've done all kinds of research. We've done all kinds of like, you know, that's not true at all. But when you're, you know, an 8 or 9 year old child hearing that and when you're trying to sleep every night, you know,
that would scare the shit out of me. And I'm an adult kind of.
Of course. Yes. And they had to live with it every day. And so Andrea is the one I'm closest with. And she was the one that kind of rallied the troops and got them all back together in the house. But Cindy, when we got her there, she was the one who was the youngest and most affected. And she literally like, she made it through the filming and the investigation. And then she was like, I'm never, ever coming back here. And it was just too hard for, even though not a lot happened in a paranormal way for her at that moment, it was just too much for her. Like, I think it was enough for her to just go, like, set foot in there again and knew she could do it. And then she just doesn't need to go back.
Yeah. She closed the door, got closure. Probably was triggering to be in a house where someone with a ghost is whispering at you when you're a child. And get the fuck out and maybe never return.
Yeah, I felt it. I felt it from her. I was like, yeah, you don't have to come back here. We're good. I think we've done this.
So how you say you're like a spirit or ghost therapist, is that part of it? Is like trying to heal who was affected by the situation too? Or is it more trying to understand what the spirit wants?
It's kind of both. Like, I find us counseling, and I am not a licensed therapist by any stretch, but I do find us kind of counseling families and people who are affected a lot just because I'm listening, you know, they are finally finding someone who's listening and who believes them.
That's
and
what
so
I was gonna
I do,
say, and believes them, because I feel like a lot of people could be dismissive because it is like supernatural. But I even sometimes don't know if that's the right word to use, because it's not supernatural. It's just we haven't figured it out how to explain it yet, which doesn't mean it's not there. You see it, you feel it, you hear it, it's there. But just because our brains can't quite comprehend how to explain it makes me feel like a lot of people would feel really dismissed by these stories.
Oh, totally. And then, you know, the other part of it too is that sometimes like the family relationships and the dynamic in a home can affect the paranormal activity as well, you know? So not only are they not understanding it, but they're kind of affecting it in some way. You know, if there's turmoil in the home, if people aren't getting along, you know, that makes this like the spirits pick up on that for whatever reason, and it can actually like increase activity depending on, you know, how they relate to it. Maybe they've been there for a long time living happily, and this family moves in that won't stop fighting, and then the spirits suddenly want them to stop.
Oh my god, just,
it's like total dynamics. It's like a bad roommate situation, you know.
Oh my god, so everybody should be pleasant because you might be bothering the ghosts that are haunting your home. And they're just going to fuck with you more. So like, get it together and be nice. That's what I'm taking away from this conversation.
I mean, I think we should all live by that anyway. Just assume someone's there who's going to be upset.
Just keep it cool. Just everybody chill out.
Especially if you live in like a really old house.
I feel like I come into contact with a lot of energy, and most of it is so beautiful and just like, but then every once in a while, when you're like projecting your energy or opening it up, like you were saying, if you just find a spirit or a ghost that's just like manipulative and a jerk, what do you do with that? How do you not let that affect you? You were saying you just are strong in yourself, but have you ever had a time where it just really got to you?
We started talking about this incident. Drugs and officials cover up. You couldn't believe it.
From iHeart Podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
There's no way that that guy's a doctor.
I'm Paul Pringle, and I'm an investigative reporter for the LA Times. This is the story of an investigation that starts in a hotel room in Pasadena, California, and reaches all the way to the top of two of the most powerful institutions in the city of Los Angeles.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
This is Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption.
We're always going to have predators. It's the good people who stand by and do nothing that allow them to flourish.
Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots as I sit down with inspiring women like Misty Copeland, Brooke Shields, Vanessa Hudgens, and so many more. We dive into how these women made their pivot and their mindset shifts that happened as a result. It's a podcast about women, their stories, and how their pivot became their success. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is an NAACP and Webby Award-winning podcast dedicated to all things mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. Here, we have the conversations that help Black women decipher how their past inform who they are today and use that information to decide who they want to be moving forward. We chat about things like how to establish routines that center self-care, what burnout looks and feels like, and defining what aspects of our lives are making us happy and what parts are holding us back. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia, and I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.
Hey, my name's Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of On Purpose. I just had a great conversation with Michael B. Jordan, and you can listen to it right now. Michael is known for his performances in both film and television. His breakout role was in Fruitvale Station, playing Oscar Grant, which earned him widespread praise and numerous award nominations. His portrayal of Killmonger in Marvel's Black Panther, one of my favorites, further solidified his status as one of Hollywood's leading actors, earning him widespread acclaim for his complex and compelling performance. In our conversation, Michael really opens up. You're going to love listening to it, and I can't wait for you to check it out.
The closest to getting what you want is always the hardest. It's always the feeling when you're getting ready to, you know, people give up right before they get what they've always wanted to get. People quit.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think that it's just like meeting someone in real life. You know, like you could be at a dinner party and everyone's having a great time, and then that certain person walks in who doesn't say a word, but suddenly the whole vibe changes just completely based on their energy, and like they're a total downer or whatever. And it's kind of the same way I feel like with the spirit world. Like I will meet, you know, spirits or feel energy that is maybe not like negative in the sense that it wants to harm me, but is like manipulative, just like a live person could be. And you have to tackle it just like you would a live person. You're like, I can't let this person get to me, especially an energy that is fleeting or something like you're just passing through. You know, I've had that happen, you know, traveling a lot as well for filming and things. Like I'll be in a hotel that's old and gross and haunted, and, you know, and there'll be some bad energy there. Something will feel off. And I'm like, great, I have to be stuck with this for a week or whatever. But then you have to move on from it. And I always
It sounds like dating.
It does. Like bad relationships. Yeah. That's terrible, ghost. Ruined me. But it's true, though. And, you know, and it's just applying the same rules to a dead person that you apply to a live person and how you treat them or react to them kind of changes it. You're like, oh, I have this power in me. Like, I wouldn't put up with this from someone standing in front of me. I'm not going to put up with it just because I can't see this person. But it also can be scary in that sense. You can't see them. You don't know what you're up against. You don't know what their motivations are. You know, and in a society right now that's so involved with the idea of positive thinking and positive thought, and like, you know, you can infuse a space with like positivity, but the same goes for negativity. And so you have to kind of tackle that in a way.
My God, how interesting. Do you subscribe to demons existing? Like, have you ever encountered something that's just like, so dark, you don't even know, like, you don't want to fuck with it. I'm not going to touch it. Can't deal with it.
Yeah. So it's extraordinarily rare. Like, I've done this for like over 20 years now, and I can probably count two or three times where I've encountered something that I felt was like, I don't necessarily know that it's demonic, but I would call it that if that were what it, you know, if it was, if that's the definition, but something just so negative, that, you know, I had to call in help. Like I actually have a really good friend who works with the Vatican, who's a religious demonologist. And so whenever I have like even an inkling that there's something like that, I can call him, but it's very rare. Like it's almost always something else, or like I said before, something that is just a mean person in life. But I think I do believe in such things, but I always tell people that the odds of that are so low, and to just not assume, but just know that if you're encountering something that's negative or upset or mean, odds are it's either misunderstood or was a mean person in life, which is a lot less daunting.
Yeah. Well, so what would be, I'm like so curious about the demonic forces where you called in Vatican backup. Can I ask you about that? Like what happened? Yeah.
So that the last time it happened was, so basically it was a dear friend of mine called me, and he had a pretty good feeling that something was going on with his sister, that she was somehow possessed. And this had been going on for years. And so he finally called me to discuss this. And it was like the middle of the night. I was home alone with my daughter, who was like two or three at the time. And so he calls, and immediately like the lights start going on and off in my house. And so what one thing that you will learn about like a negative type entity or a demonic type entity is that the second they feel like this person is reaching out to someone who's going to be a threat, they will immediately try to get rid of that threat, supposedly. And so in this case, he's explaining to me what's happening. And he said, and my lights are going on and off. And he goes, I have to go outside because my lights are going on and off. So his lights were turning on and off. And I did not clue him in at all. I very like purposely was like, I'm not going to say anything that's going on here because I didn't want to freak him out. And I was like, okay, go ahead. So he goes outside and he continues talking. And then he, as he's talking, I hear my daughter crying upstairs. And I'm like, that's, you know, it's the middle of the night. So I run upstairs and she is fast asleep, not crying, because she does not wake up. And so at that point, I was like, okay, this thing is messing with me. Like this thing is trying to threaten me. So I go back downstairs and I'm just talking with him the whole time, telling him his options, giving him my opinions. And then I feel something start grabbing onto my hair, like as I'm talking to him.
No.
And then at the same time, I hear my daughter start crying again. And I go upstairs and she's fast asleep. And so we got through the conversation, and I knew that was the first time I've ever felt like, okay, there's something that's trying to let me know that like it knows who I am and it's gonna, you know, make an issue for me. But so I immediately called my friend, and he helped them the next day. But yeah, that it was exactly what he told me would happen. Like when he warned me about things like that, he literally said to me, like, they will try to stop you and try to scare you, and you just have to stand your ground. And so I never ever even told the guy that I was talking to that was happening. I just acted like it was a totally normal conversation.
Oh, but yeah, that was God. That's insane. That's so insane.
Yeah, again, extraordinarily rare. 20 plus years of doing this, have never had that happen before or since. So people don't get totally freaked out. Yeah. I've had a couple other strange encounters, but that was the one where I knew unequivocally that I was dealing with something that was cruel.
And like, sounds like very ominous.
Oh yeah. I mean, to threaten your child, that was the weird thing. Like, look, I can make it sound like your baby's crying.
Did your daughter remember any of it, or she's asleep the whole time?
Oh, no, she was just fast asleep. And I mean, okay, one day I'll tell her, because right now she's like 8 and she loves like crawling through creepy places with me and looking for ghosts and stuff. And so I'm not going to ruin it for her yet.
My first encounter with like an apparition or spirit or ghost was, I always like would go to places and try to do the kind of like what you were saying you would do on the weekends, where it's like for fun. So I'll be on tour with my band and my dancers and like the whole crew. And then we'll be in Milwaukee or whatever. And there's this beautiful W hotel we can all stay at with a nice clean pool. And I'm like, nope, we're staying at the place where Jeffrey Dahmer used to live. And everyone's like, oh, great. Awesome. Or like in Fort Worth, there's like a haunted brothel. And I've had people literally in the middle of the night, they're like, you're fucking crazy. I'm sleeping in the bus. Like the lights won't work. I'm out. Like, but so my favorite thing is to play shows, play music, and then stay at haunted places whenever I can, like in whatever city. And it kind of is torture. It's kind of torture to the people I work with. So apologies, but they have options. They could go somewhere else. It's just highly encouraged to hang out at the haunted place because it's more fun. But
it is more fun.
It is more fun. Just like, I don't know, give me something weird. But I saw, so I've always wanted to see something or feel something. And then I saw an apparition of a woman, but instead of being scared, I felt sad for her. And I think that was the first time I was like, oh, I think this actually is a spirit or ghost or whatever the right terminology is. And I'm not terrified. Like I thought I was going to get like the shit scared out of me. And that wasn't the case. And so ever since then, I've been wholly fascinated with how to connect with the other side. Because I'm sure we're just surrounded by spirits at all times.
Mm-hmm. Well, you humanized her. You know, that was that moment where you're like, oh, this isn't a novelty anymore. This is a person. And I feel her. And there's something that she needs or she wants, you know. And that's... that it really does change your perspective on the whole idea of a haunting. It does go from like, you know, spooky and fun to being like a belief system, like in the afterlife. And so, yeah, I think that a lot of people go through that, especially when they've experienced a haunting for a while. You know, we've had, there was one woman who that story reminded me of where she died in a train act, like a very sudden train crash. This train hit her and her three girlfriends coming back from a sewing bee in like 1912 or something. And this poor woman, her spirit kept running for help in the old house that like lived, that was next door to where she lived. And she kept appearing, the woman who lived there now, she just would wake up and this woman would be like, help, help, you know, every night. And so we had to basically help, we helped the spirit by showing her her death certificate. Like some part of her had no idea she was dead. And so we had to, we printed her death certificate and the articles and we were like, this terrible thing happened to you and we're so sorry. And we got these recordings of her and she was like, death certificate? And then when we explained to her what was happening, the last word she said, she was like, I'm going home. And then she was never seen again. Like she she didn't understand.
That's so, I feel like that what you're doing is so kind. You are like a ghost therapist. I love it. It's so nice.
I'm trying until one gets nasty with me and then the ginger comes out.
Well, the demons, mostly really lovely. Couple demons and then just some like people that are angry about shit. I'm like, you do you.
Yeah, it doesn't go away apparently when you die. So
oh, damn it.
Let's just be so ready for
sort
that.
It out in this lifetime.
Guys, sort it out now. Don't run from your problems.
Do you think that there's like ever a point where, do you think people come back?
So I have not encountered it like in a situation where I thought that was happening, but it makes sense to me. Like it's this idea that feels right to me in a way. And I think that there's a reason why people have kind of naturally subscribed to that theory over thousands of years. You know, there that the fact that you have to grow spiritually from carnation to carnation, you know, or incarnation to incarnation. And so it makes sense. I've not seen anything that made me wonder, like, am I dealing with someone reincarnated? You know, but I mean, I've certainly had moments in life where I've been around something or experienced something that really, you know, tugged at me in a way that didn't necessarily make sense, you know? And I'm like, is this something from like a past life? Is there a reason why I'm drawn to this? So I think there's something to it and I just don't know how we prove it. And then I also wonder, you know, what do we achieve by proving it too? Yeah. You know, I think we should maybe just all kind of just subscribe to the idea that we might all be growing all the time. And I think that's a good theory to go with.
I love that because even what you said about like spirits and the afterlife, it's like, well, okay, it just makes me want to sort my shit out now. And then maybe in the next life, if I sort a chunk out this lifetime, maybe the next life will be even more fabulous. And then maybe I'll be a happy, nice ghost.
Yeah, not a jerk ghost. Like,
I'll be like the funnest ghost in the entire world. Maybe kind of annoying. I'm going to sing TikTok at people on repeat until they literally go insane.
I just want to be like a really helpful ghost, like earn my keep in whatever house I'm inhabiting.
Oh my God.
Cleaning.
Sound like the best ghost ever. The fact that you love to collect antiques and specifically dolls.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask you about that because I love antiques, obsessed. And do you think mm-hmm. that there's a way to, before you bring it into your house, like to make sure you're not bringing an entity that you don't necessarily want?
Well, yeah, I'm not sure. So sometimes I feel like it's my duty to take in these haunted objects. Like I think, I don't know if you can see, but like behind me, I have a bunch
oh my
of
God.
Really creepy.
Are those the dolls?
Yeah, there's a few of them up there. I have a lot of them, but those are some of the standouts. Those are the ones that don't like to stay put. I find them on the floor in here a lot.
Wait, but they like move around?
Yeah. my daughter will not come in this room. She hates this room. She hates my office. Yeah. She's like the rest of our house looks so normal. And then I'm like, and then mom's office. So
mom's creepy doll place.
Mom's creepy office. Yeah. So I feel like when I find these things, I feel kind of drawn to them in a way. And it's almost like I feel like I'm supposed to have them for whatever reason. And so I wouldn't necessarily want to get rid of whatever's hanging on to them when I bring them home, as long as they weren't being, you know, awful. But I have a lot of really creepy shit in my house. And I have yet, I have like, I'm looking at a Victorian hair wreath. That's like a memorial wreath where like they would take their loved one's hair and turn it into like a wreath when they died. I have one of those. I have a spirit trumpet back here from seances in the 1800s. I have
a spirit trumpet.
Yeah. Like, mediums would use them. It was not true at all, but they would use them and they would say that like ghostly sounds would come out of the trumpet, but it was like a parlor trick basically. But it's old, and I think it's kind of cool that it was used in seances in the spiritualist era. And then I have like all the dolls. I have a really creepy teddy bear. I have.
Why is the teddy bear I have so creepy? It's like not.
I don't know. I kind of want to show them to you because.
Okay, yeah, please. Oh my God, show me all the creepy stuff.
There's so much. Like this is. People send me these things too. Like
oh, that is so creepy. Holy shit, that teddy bear is creepy.
I told you, but like people send me these things and I can't like get rid of it. Like I feel bad. Like someone loved this at some point, right?
You could definitely get rid of that if you want to. I'm giving you permission. That is so creepy. If I were your daughter,
you're sure you don't want me to send him to you?
If he's a nice guy, you know, whatever.
He seems okay. Yeah. So, but it's things like that. Like, I don't want to show you the other dolls. You'll freak.
Oh my God.
They're
I heard.
Really scary.
Well, okay. So I read you have one that has real human hair that comes out of it or something.
Okay. So I did. So that was my first encounter with a haunted doll. And it was, I was young. I was like 13 years old and I used to go to the antique store like every normal 13-year-old. And I would just, you know, peruse the place, and they had this really creepy old doll. It was a boudoir doll, a bed doll, and it had real human hair, which I love these dolls. I have one here now, but wait,
you can totally show me all your creepy stuff before you go because I'm wildly curious.
I'll show you before. But okay. So anyways, this doll in particular, I took her home and she like started setting fires. And
the doll.
I suspect so. So what happened was I was drawn to this doll. I put her on layaway and every week I would bring my $5 allowance until I paid off this doll or whatever, and brought her home and set her up on my shelf. And then a few days later walked in and it smelled like burning. And I was like, that's weird. And I couldn't figure out where it's coming from. And then the next day I looked and there was like a kind of like a scorch mark above the doll. And I was like, that's really strange.
It sounds so dangerous.
It was very dangerous. I do not recommend. And so then I smelled it another day and came in and found literally her dress was smoldering that she was wearing. It had like, it was smoldering. And I was like, something is wrong with this doll. And, So I have these two aunts who are both kind of witchy and different. And my very psychic aunt did like a seance, and she said that this doll had some sort of attachment to it. And so we tried to rid it of it or whatever. And so I shoved it in my closet.
We started talking about this incident, drugs and officials cover up. You couldn't believe it.
From iHeart Podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now? Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
There's no way that guy's a doctor.
I'm Paul Pringle, and I'm an investigative reporter for the LA Times. This is the story of an investigation that starts in a hotel room in Pasadena, California, and reaches all the way to the top of two of the most powerful institutions in the city of Los Angeles.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
This is Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption.
We're always going to have predators. It's the good people who stand by and do nothing that allow them to flourish.
Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots as I sit down with inspiring women like Misty Copeland, Brooke Shields, Vanessa Hudgens, and so many more. We dive into how these women made their pivot and their mindset shifts that happened as a result. It's a podcast about women, their stories, and how their pivot became their success. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is an NAACP and Webby Award-winning podcast dedicated to all things mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. Here, we have the conversations that help Black women decipher how their past inform who they are today and use that information to decide who they want to be moving forward. We chat about things like how to establish routines that center self-care, what burnout looks and feels like, and defining what aspects of our lives are making us happy and what parts are holding us back. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia, and I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.
Hey, my name's Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of On Purpose. I just had a great conversation with Michael B. Jordan, and you can listen to it right now. Michael is known for his performances in both film and television. His breakout role was in Fruitvale Station, playing Oscar Grant, which earned him widespread praise and numerous award nominations. His portrayal of Killmonger in Marvel's Black Panther, one of my favorites, further solidified his status as one of Hollywood's leading actors, earning him widespread acclaim for his complex and compelling performance. In our conversation, Michael really opens up. You're going to love listening to it, and I can't wait for you to check it out.
The closest to getting what you want is always the hardest. It's always the feeling when you're getting ready to, you know, people give up right before they get what they've always wanted to get. People quit.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And
it's gonna burn down your clothes. Oh my god,
it was awful. I think we ended up actually burning the doll years later. I don't even know what happened, but it was just like the worst. It was scary. So yeah, I've never encountered a fire producing doll since then. But that was, again, probably one of the things that piqued my interest in what I do. And maybe there had been some other rational explanation, but that doll definitely was. smoldering on more than one occasion.
Was there anything electronic about the doll? Like batteries or cords or wires?
No, she was just a boudoir doll from the 20s. Like just an old doll. And she was not the wall, like the wall she was up against. There was nothing there. There was no, like there were no candles. There was no incense. Like there was no like electricity around her. It was just that doll. It was so strange. So I've never seen anything like it since. But that might be why I like them now. I feel like I owe her something because I don't feel like I
Sorry, lady, you gotta go. I have a weird thing with antiques where I cannot leave to, if I find them in two separate places in the world, I have to bring them back together. I like to think of myself as like reuniting like lost twin flame souls. So I have a bunch of weird matching things that I don't even necessarily like and or want, but they match. So they must be together.
I love it. But it's the energy. Like if you think about an antique, like I'm super drawn to antiques and there's so much energy infused in them, whether or not it's like ghosts, it's just people have been around them for so long. People have cared for them. You know, think of all the things that happened around them over the time that they have been in existence. Like if there's something about antiques, like I really do think they hold energy. And I think certain people are drawn to that. Like I love them.
Oh, me too. And my mom too. Like we go to flea markets pretty much whenever we're around each other. And just like, it's like treasure hunting also to me. But yours is like a little creepier because like you want the creepy stuff.
I feel like no one wants it. So I feel like it's kind of like you're reuniting antiques and I'm like taking in like the orphaned antiques.
Yeah, you're like fostering the demonic dolls. Can I see
something
the dolls?
Like that?
I find dolls to be like so creepy. So this is real creepy.
I'm gonna give you nightmares though. Fair warning.
Oh, great. Can't wait.
Yeah. Oh my god. We're so scared. This one's falling apart. Like, okay.
And these ladies like to move around and you're just fine with that.
Yeah, this is the one that really moves around, so I put everything on top of her, but that's this one right here.
Why is she in a bridal gown?
So this is a bed doll. This is a boudoir doll. She has real human hair. Like,
okay, what is a boudoir doll? Is that like what you put
in your
bedroom?
So back in the 20s, yeah, it was like a big thing with like flappers in the 20s and stuff. They would put these on their beds with like this was more for like adults. This was not like a kid doll.
What do adults do with this?
It was like decoration, I think.
Oh, she's creepy. I love her. Sorry, yeah, I'm not trying to be mean. She's gorgeous. Yeah.
This one came from a haunted place we investigated on Kindred, and they could not give her to me fast enough.
Oh my
her
god,
her head's falling off.
Her head is falling off. That is so creepy. Oh,
so
my
she's
god.
From.
Wait, someone needs to look at this. One of you needs to look at this fucking doll. Wait, look at this doll.
See, if I had not taken this doll in, no one would have. So I'm doing...
No kidding. Oh, my God.
Yes, so that's her. Okay.
Oh, yikes.
So she had her... Okay, this one is awful. This one is...
That one looks like... No offense. I don't want these... Ah!
Yeah,
why is there no back of the head?
I think her hair fell out. I don't know. It's pretty awful.
Oh, my God. Oh, so there's no eyeballs. That's why that looks so creepy.
No, nothing.
That is creepy as hell.
Yeah, and then there's this guy here.
Oh, my. Yeah. That looks like someone beat that baby doll. And like,
I know. So this is... I willingly bring these things into my house because no one else will.
Okay,
and I feel
that's
bad
fair.
For them.
That's fair.
Yeah, someone
my
loves
mom
them
does
at
that
some point.
With like stray dogs that are just like really mangy and kind of ugly. She'll just take the ones that nobody else wants in. But
I would rather take in dogs, but I don't have the space. So I take in haunted dolls instead. Like I said, my daughter is thrilled. And if you saw their, like, I am the most normal person in the world. You would never guess that those were the kinds of things that I collect.
I would have to.
Or my occupation.
That you might not be the most normal person in the world. I don't want know what normal is, but judging by those dolls, I would have to disagree with you.
Well, if you see one in your travels, please send it to me.
Oh, fun. I got you. I see weird shit. Yeah, you're like, shit.
I know the girl for this doll.
Wait, I totally, if you see a lamp that just is like mystical, the most magical, mystical lamp in the world, that's what you can look for me, that, because I love lamps. Great. And then I'll look for haunted, creepy ass baby dolls with human hair and or no eyeballs for you.
Fantastic. I feel like that's a great trade-off.
That's so fucked. What a very, very weird hobby.
I'm glad we were able to bond on this.
I love antiques and I love collecting things.
Me too.
And I believe in spirits. So, I mean, how could we not connect on that?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, I also read that pretty much like in your familial, like in your blood, in your bloodline, like everyone kind of around you is into, what would you call it, the paranormal?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, so when I was growing up, even though a lot of my family is very religious, they're like, you know, hardcore Catholics and stuff, they still were very open to the idea of ghosts and spirits, so much so that like my parents never... they never were like, ghosts don't exist. We lived in a haunted house. They talked about it very matter of factly. They were just like, yeah, sometimes there are ghosts.
Wait, and you so lived in a haunted house growing up?
I did. And so that was why I was never afraid of them. I was just like, oh, ghosts are just something that happens sometimes. And so that's what really piqued my interest. I saw, when I was 8 years old, I saw an apparition standing outside our kitchen window of a man. And that kitchen window was on the second floor. There's no way someone could have been standing outside that window. And we found out later that there was a wraparound porch there. So there was a time where someone could have been standing there, but just not in the 80s. And so I remember just seeing this man and just backing out of the kitchen and going to find my mom. Like, mom, there's a strange man outside. You know, it was, and she explained to me that our house was haunted and that sometimes you might see a ghost.
Oh,
and
my God.
Yeah. And so I was like, okay, you know, 8 years old, just okay, I guess that's what happens. So,
but
it just,
like, they were fully into it, fine with it, knew it was there, was not shocking, and it was like just part of the culture of growing up, as you might see weird stuff.
Yes. I mean, we did have a couple instances, like we had a family that would come visit sometimes for like dinner parties and things. And that was the first time I realized.
Real family or ghost family?
Real people.
Okay, okay.
But something happened during a dinner. They came over and they were talking about our ghosts. And we had two pretty major incidents while they were there. But the big one was we were talking about our ghosts and how they didn't believe in them. And then right then this picture came off the wall and crashed down onto the floor. And they left immediately and they never set foot in our house again. And I remember
I
the mom would like
that though. Because it's like the ghost is like, oh, really, bitches? Watch this.
Yes. And so it was so, and that was the first time I was like, oh, maybe this is scary to people because I live with this every day. But yeah, I remember the mom, she would just like come, her son would come over to play with me, but the mom would like go out on the lawn and be like, Alex, it's time to go home. Like she would never come up to the door ever again.
So in this dinner party, what was the other thing that happened? Were they just like, they were skeptical? So
yeah. So the first thing that happened was her son, Alex he fell asleep on the couch at some point. And so she looked back at him, or she thought she saw him going into the bathroom to use the bathroom. So there was a little boy ghost in that house, a little blonde boy, and her son was a little blonde boy. Uh-huh. And so she was sitting at the table and she was like, where's Alex? He's been in the bathroom for so long. And her husband was like, Alex is asleep on the couch, sweetie. And she had seen what she thought was Alex walk into the bathroom and she was waiting for him to come out and he did not come out. And that was her first like, oh shit moment, you know? And then the picture frame was the last gasp and like, they never came leaving. Back. Yeah, they were done.
But like your family was just fine with it. That's so cool.
Yeah, I don't know how I got so lucky. You know, my dad, it was kind of an amateur paranormal investigator. And so he would take me on ghost hunts. You know, he was not like what I do now. It was just kind of for fun. And so I think that was part of it. Like he saw that I had an interest in this. And yeah. so we would go investigate places, but he also used it as an opportunity to like teach me history or teach me, you know, it was like a learning opportunity. He's like, oh, yeah. she likes ghosts. Let's go to this old fort or this old museum and I'll tell her it's haunted.
Smart. Very smart parenting. That's really cool. Yeah. And then your aunts are witches? Kind of glazed over that.
Yeah, no. So I have these two aunts who are, I wouldn't say, like, I think that they do practice ritual magic. And I just think they've always done it just kind of naturally, which I think is fair. I think a lot of people do that. And so I grew up with them just kind of doing these rituals and things. And they're, you know, they were the ones that, especially my Aunt Roxy, who really just kind of was the one who did the seance with the doll and everything. And they always remind me of the aunts from Practical Magic. I don't know if you saw that movie, but they literally are those. They are those two aunts in that movie. They're just like kind of all over the place and just doing their own thing. But yeah, I do remember my sister was sick in the hospital once and I walked in and they were doing some sort of like smudging ritual, like over my sister with all these crystals and the doctors were freaking out. And I was like, oh, this is what we do, you know?
But would you consider yourself a witch?
I would. I mean, I believe very much in the power of intention and I believe in energy and energy work. And I don't really put like a name on it. I just kind of operate under that idea that, you know, everything I do and feel can affect others and other things. And so I'm a big believer in that. I do have a lot of very good friends who do a lot of like really great ritual magic and are witches. And I love that about them. And so I call them in all the time and ask for advice. So.
I love that. It's so interesting. I can't decide if I'm a witch or not. I don't know how to decide, but so I'm like into all of these things, but I don't know how to know if I'm a witch.
I always think of myself as witchy. I'm like, witchy. I'm witchy.
Yeah, totally. Like more descriptive. I guess I just like, that's how I feel too. Like I'm just like open to bring it all in, but yeah. I don't like know the rituals or anything like that.
I think you make them. Like, I think it really comes from the heart. Like, I think it's what you do, and maybe other like witches out there can speak to this better than I can, but I just feel like you do what feels right. And, you know, you put that energy out there in whatever way you want to see, if you want to visualize it, if you need a ritual to do that. Like I mean, that's the way I've always looked at it.
Well, I love that you said the power of intention. Cause I think just in general, like spooky, creepy, or just being a good person. I've always, since I was like, I remember I kind of came to this conclusion at 16. I was like, oh, intention is like most important in like terms of things like, yes, there's hard work and there's all these other things, but like the intention behind something is so important. So that's why I think like the intention behind what the work you do is so interesting. And I haven't really seen it before. There's so many ghost shows and movies. And I just think what you do is coming from this like compassionate, really like well thought out intentional place. And that's why I'm so like was so thrilled to get to talk to you. And I'm just such a fan of your work and what you're doing, I think is so special. And I think it's important.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. I think more people are seeing that side of it and I love it. So that's awesome.
Yeah. It's kind of like taking a little bit of the, what do you call it? Like the novelty, which is obviously always going to be novel when you can't explain something, but I feel that way about love too. Like why love, and there's so many love songs, there's so many love stories, and why love is so intoxicating is because you can't explain why. And sometimes it comes out of nowhere. You can't really see it. You can't grasp it. You can't really buy it, but it's there and you feel it and it exists. And so I kind of feel like the supernatural and paranormal is a little bit like that, where it's like, it exists. I feel it. I see it. I know it's there, but like, I can't grab it, which I love. I love that there are a couple things in life that you can't purchase or like explain everything away about it. I think it keeps life magical.
No, I completely agree. I've always looked at what we do as magic. Like there's something magical about it.
And, 100%.
Yeah. So I love that you see it that way as well.
I do.
Because I don't always meet people who see it that way. I'm always trying to convince them. I'm like, there's just, the whole world is magical. But there's certain aspects of it, like you said, that you can't buy or purchase. You have to just feel it and experience it.
And like have an open heart.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's why not everybody experiences the paranormal.
Or the magical.
Mm-hmm.
My God, if my podcast could inspire one person to open their heart up to just a little bit of magic, that's like basically my goal in life, I think, is to try to like magic it up. I don't know what that means.
Especially right now. We need it. We need it in this world right now.
we need a little more magic. Yes.
Yes. With good intention. For sure.
That's why I love the intention. Yes. Magic with good intention. Oh my God. Love that.
Absolutely.
That's going to be my mantra today. Do you want to tell everybody who's listening, where can they find you?
Oh, well, I'm on all the social media as at Amy Bruni, AmyBruni. And then Kindred Spirits is streaming on Discovery Plus. We have 5 seasons on there, more to come. And I have a book out called Life with the Afterlife, 13 Truths I Learned About Ghosts, that talks about a lot of what we talked about, just kind of getting more philosophical about things and stuff. So that's a good start.
Yeah, I love that. Well, thank you everybody for listening. I hope you had fun hearing about all the creepy dolls that Amy has and all the other like really beautiful things that you had to say about supernatural and paranormal. Thank you for listening. Thank you so much for being on Kesha and the Creepies. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Like the police knew who he was before they got here.
From iHeart Podcasts,
the medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
I'm Paul Pringle, an investigative reporter for the LA Times. Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast. And I had the opportunity to talk to one of Hollywood's major icons, Michael B. Jordan. In our conversation, Michael shares the highs, the lows, and everything in between, offering a genuine glimpse into his world.
The closest to getting what you want is always the hardest. People give up right before they get what they've always wanted to get.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is your space to explore mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia. And I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.